the juxtaposition in that. But this is something that I think is important. It doesn't get talked about enough in the church. And depression is a tremendous problem in our culture today. And even though we understand from studies that the problem of depression hits men and women in almost equal numbers. By the way, it doesn't matter what race you are. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter your religious upbringing, whether you're atheist or godly or whatever you are. Depression hits at about the same rate all across the board. It is a problem in every strata of society, in every part of our culture, and in every culture. The reason I kind of put it in with men's issues this week is because men talk about it far less, are far less likely to seek help for depression, and have a higher suicide rate than women because of depression. It is a man's problem. It is something that we have to kind of get past, because men in our culture, in our world, are raised to think that you don't feel sorry for yourself. You don't let things like that bother you. You don't let it get you down. You gut it out. You kind of, you know, you just carry on and get over it and don't burden other people with your problems. And to your chagrin, you probably discovered, if you deal with that, and by the way, there's about 130, 150 people here this morning, which means that there's probably 10 to 15 people that struggle with depression on a regular basis here. And you're going to see yourself in that this morning. But men don't really talk about it. So guys, I want to open the door this morning. I want to open up that crack in the window a little bit and let us look and see what God's Word has to say about depression. Maybe you know of a guy like Matthew. Matthew was a charming, smiling, outgoing guy who is, his dad said that whenever he walked into the room lit up. Matthew led many people to the Lord in his lifetime. He was a dedicated Christian. He believed in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. He worshiped regularly in his home church. But Matthew also struggled with massive, debilitating depression. He was seen by some of the best doctors that were available in order to help him deal with these debilitating waves of despair that would come over him from time to time. One night not too long ago, after a fun family gathering, Matthew Warren, the son of Rick Warren, the purpose-driven pastor of Saddleback Community Church, took his own life. And he plunged his family into that terrible category of being a suicide survivor. Researchers have found that 54% of Americans said churches should do more to prevent suicide, and 68% said they would feel welcome if they were mentally ill inside of a church. That's encouraging news, that we want to do more and that mentally ill people are open and welcome into the church. Rick Warren says this, "There is no shame when any other organ of your body fails. So why do we feel shame if our brain is broken?" And that's what I want us to kind of keep in the back of our minds here today, is that depression falls under the category of an illness, of a sickness, of something that needs to be dealt with and something that needs to be talked about. It surely has a spiritual dimension to it. Without doubt, I don't dispute that at all. But I know that my God, that is able to heal broken limbs and is able to heal diseases and able to heal every other kind of sickness, is also able to deal with depression. And we don't need to keep that a secret. We don't need to keep that a shame anymore. The Bible gives us pictures of people who were depressed. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 2 through 11. Listen to this. See if you can kind of see yourself in this, guys. "Everything is meaningless," says the teacher. "Completely meaningless. What do people get for all their hard work under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth never changes. The sun rises and the sun sets, then hurries around to rise again. The wind blows south, and then it turns north. Around and around it goes, blowing in circles. Rivers run into the sea, but the sea is never full. And then the water returns again to the rivers and flows again out to the sea. Everything is wearisome beyond description. No matter how much we see, we're never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we are not content. History merely repeats itself. It's all been done before. Nothing under the sun is truly new. Sometimes people say, here's something new, but it's actually old. Nothing is ever truly new. We don't remember what happened in the past, and in future generations, no one will remember what we're doing now. That's depressed. That's depression. It's in the Bible. The great King Solomon felt that. Now, was sin involved? Absolutely. Sin's involved in everything. Sin spoils everything it touches. That's why I'm wearing glasses today, because of sin. That's why I'm fat today. I can blame it on sin. Sin spoils everything it touches. And it touches our brain. And it makes us depressed. So there's a spiritual dimension to this. The great prophet Elijah dealt with depression. You remember when Ahab told Jezebel about how Elijah had talked to him and how he had killed all the prophets of Baal. And Jezebel sent this message to Elijah. And you remember the story of the altar that was built, and Elijah built an altar and the prophets of Baal built an altar. Elijah's God answered by fire, consumed it. Baal's prophets were all killed because of their disloyalty to God himself. And when Queen Jezebel heard about it, she threatened Elijah and she said, I'm going to kill you, man of God. Now it's interesting that on the heels of this great victory, because we think as though, you know, when you're outside of the situation, it's easy to think about what you would do. I was discussing with some people the situation in Charleston, South Carolina. That young man reloaded his gun 5 times before he finally ran out of bullets and left the building. And I was thinking to myself, why didn't somebody, just when he was reloading, just rush the guy? And then I had to stop and think, you weren't there, man. You don't know what happens in moments of chaos and terror and terrible things like that. You got no right to judge that. And we look at Elijah and we say, man, you just came off this great victory. You just came off this tremendous kind of victory, and God delivered you and spoke to you. What are you afraid of a queen for? The God that delivered you from the hands of Baal will surely deliver you from this woman. But no, look at Joshua's response. It says, Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. And then he went alone into the wilderness. That's another sign of depression, by the way. You just want to be alone. Traveling all day, he sat down under a solitary broom tree and he prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I'm no better than my ancestors who have already died. Now we know that God came to him in that moment. But this is depression. This is feeling as though life has no meaning. Maybe you have struggled with these thoughts yourself. I know that there, just by sheer statistics, I know that there are men and women here today that have felt that burden of life. And sometimes you can't even put your finger on what it is that's dragging you down. There's no real incident that happens. There's no real focus of, you can put your finger on an event and say, that's it, that's what did it. Sometimes you can, but sometimes you can't. And you've experienced that depression. The signs of depression are pretty clear. A persistent sadness. Maybe even you're able to cover it, but inside you just feel sad all the time. And you can't shake it. An empty feeling. The preacher in Ecclesiastes put it this way. Meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Feelings of hopelessness or pessimism. Just like there's no bottom to the bottom of this thing. Loss of interest in hobbies and activities. All those things that used to stimulate you, that used to kind of get your brain percolating, and things that you look forward to do now just don't have that attraction to you, and you don't really have interest in anything. Difficulty making decisions or concentrating. When you're asked what you want for dinner, and it just becomes a burden. I don't know. I don't care. Just fix something. Or don't bother fixing anything. Preoccupations with thoughts of death. I wonder what would happen if I committed that terrible act. that preoccupation that's there. Those are all signs of depression. You know, the statistics are overwhelming also. It's reported that 1 in 10 Americans are affected by depression to one degree or another. Over 80% of people who are clinically depressed are not receiving any treatment of any kind at all. They're just kind of doing it on their own. The number of people diagnosed with depression increases by about 30% every year. And most of that is in advanced countries where wealth and opulence and all of that kind of thing and social mobility are possible. An estimated 121 million people around the world suffer from depression. And in 2013, 41,149 suicides were reported. That makes suicide the 10th leading cause of death for Americans. Depression is real. And it happens in the church. It happens to Christians. And by the way, I'm going to get on my own little hobby horse here for a minute. I know that our society is very accepting of alcohol, that there are beer gardens and pubs and all that kind of stuff popping up over Holland. My opinion, and this is my opinion alone, if you want to get mad at me. I don't think it's a healthy thing. I don't think it's a healthy thing for this country. I don't think it's a healthy thing for Americans. We're not very good at holding our alcohol. I see it in the emergency room. This is just a guess on my part, but I would say at least half of all accidents, sicknesses, and death are caused by alcohol and its misuse. I see it every day. But alcohol abuse and depression go hand in hand. Stats suggest that 30 to 50% of people with alcohol issues also suffer from a major depressive disorder. 30 to 50%. According to the American Psychological Association, heavy drinking makes mental health issues worse. It worsens the symptoms that you have. Alcohol is often associated with suicidal behavior. I've seen it at the hospital. I'm a chaplain in the hospital, and I have seen it. So many of these suicides are associated with either drug use and abuse or alcohol abuse. And so, you know, if I could just say a little something. You're free to drink. The Bible makes that clear. But why would you want to play with fire like that? I've got alcoholism in my family. That raises my chances of being an alcoholic by 35%. And I just don't want to play with that. I don't drink at all under any circumstances. And I don't think you should either. I think that you'll be better off in life if you say no to beer, wine, drinks, all of that kind of stuff. Now, am I being old-fashioned? Maybe. But I'm also being safe. I care about you. I want to see us thrive and become spiritually strong. And alcohol doesn't help do that very much at all. So, what do we do to get past depression? Depression is real. I don't have to sell you on that. We've seen that it's real. What are some of the things that we could do? Now, I am not a psychologist. I'm not an expert on depression. But I do know that God's Word has sufficient means to help us. And I want to talk about that for the next few minutes. How do you overcome depression? Well, there's several ways. One of them is prayer. We don't really spend that much time in prayer until we actually need it. But I'm here to tell you this morning, spending time in the presence of God is a help in times of struggle. None of these things are cures, but they are tools that you can use to overcome the debilitating effects of depression and despair in your life. And number one is prayer. Spend time in the presence of God. Be honest with God. Read the book of Job. There's a guy that's depressed with good reason. He's lost everything and he pours out his heart to God. What have I done? I don't deserve this. What is going on here? And you can say that to God too. I know from trying to help people with depression, I don't think any of them deserve to be depressed. It's, you know, any more than I deserve to be depressed or anybody else deserves to be depressed. It's okay to pour that out to God and say to Him, you know what, I'm having trouble here, I'm struggling, I might go under, I need your help. God is there in those times for you. Number two, and this is kind of there, exercise. Exercise helps you overcome depression. It doesn't cure it, but it's another tool that you can use. And as Americans, we're out of shape. Most of us don't get enough exercise. All you really need is 30 minutes a day. just 30 minutes a day to take a walk, just to get the blood pumping, just to get your juices flowing, if you will. But exercise can make a difference. Share your burden. Talk to somebody about it. Let somebody close that you know that you're struggling with depression. Now, let me tell you why that's a problem for most of us. Most of us don't have somebody that we're close enough to that we can share that with, especially men. I want to give a plug for our men's group. Dave Kuntz's Bible study meets Tuesdays in the evening. That is a safe place for you to come and to share your burdens and to get to know other guys. And what's amazing is, men, you find out that when you begin sharing your burdens and your needs, you're going to discover that other people will respond to it this way. Yeah, I got that too. I have the same thing. I don't know how to deal with it either. And you have somebody that you have something in common with, and that, you know, a burden shared is half a burden. So find someone that you can share it with. Counseling. Find a good Christian counselor. And I mean Christian counselor. I think that's important. But find a good Christian counselor that you can share your burden with, that can help you walk through that. An expert in the field, somebody that knows what they're talking about and can help you go through that minefield. And finally, you know, I want to emphasize this because I want this to be clear. It is not a lack of faith or a sin to take medication. I take medication. I take blood pressure medication because I don't want my head to explode one morning when I get up. When God heals me, I'll know because I won't need it anymore. But until I'm healed, I'm going to take that medication. And depression is the same way. If you need medication to help you deal with that, take the medication. It will help you. It will bless you. God is the God over everything, even medication. So if you need medication, take medication. Am I making myself clear on this? All right. There are some, just two or three steps that I want to talk about real quickly, though, that I think are part and parcel of overcoming depression. And number one, don't believe yourself, believe what God says. That's probably one of the biggest things that you can do to help yourself is to believe what God says more than you believe what you say. You see, depression says you're worthless. Depression says you're meaningless. Depression says if you were to be wiped off the face of the earth tomorrow, it wouldn't miss a beat. Depression says you're not worth it. Depression says you're ugly. Depression says you're overweight. Depression says that you're meaningless. Depression lies to you all the time. Depression teaches us that we cannot always trust our emotion and our thoughts. In darkness, we learn only that God can be trusted. Rick Warren said that. I drew from his teaching a lot on this lesson. But depression teaches us that we cannot always trust our emotions. And folks, that is so true. We live in a culture where emotions are king, where if you feel it, it must be true. All you have to do is look at the headlines. There's white people calling themselves black because they feel it. There's men calling themselves women because they feel it. And their feelings are lying to them. Now, I don't think we should mock them or make fun of them. We should pray for them, that God will overcome those wrong feelings and overcome with His love and His mercy. They are spiritually hungry people that need God and Jesus Christ. But depression teaches us that our emotions are not true. Jeremiah 17:9, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? You know, I hear this all the time, people saying, well, just trust your heart. I hear this especially with young people in romantic relationships. Just trust your heart. No. Don't do that. Your heart lies. Lots. Especially in the back seat of cars. Your heart will lie to you. It will not tell you the truth. It will look for excuses to make things happen that shouldn't happen. And you need to be very careful about your feelings and your heart. Believe what God says. In Psalm 119, it says, "The very essence of your words is truth. All your just regulations will stand forever." God's word is true. Folks, that's why it's so important. If you're struggling with depression, get into the word. Let God's word speak truth to you. Let it tell you that God loves you. For God so loved the world, and you're part of that world, that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's truth. That's truth you can believe. Don't believe what your mind tells you, what your heart tells you. Believe what God tells you. Listen to this. This is a great verse. Romans 8:38 through 39. "I am convinced," the Apostle Paul says, "that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, nor angels or demons, our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." God loves you. He doesn't want to see you hurt. He doesn't want to see you in pain and suffering. And He cares about everything that goes on in your life. Even when your mind is telling you, not even God cares. Say those words. You're a liar. God cares. And He knows what's going on. So don't believe yourself. Believe what God says. And this is very important. Peace with God comes through Jesus Christ. The Bible makes that abundantly clear. Peace with God comes through Christ Jesus. In Acts 10:36, it says this: "This is the message of good news for the people of the world." What's the good news? That there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. There is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never really understood that before. Maybe you tried to find peace through accumulating things in this earth. Maybe you tried to find peace by moving up the ladder at work. Maybe you tried to find peace in athletic ability or whatever it is that you're trying to find peace at, and you find out that none of it really works. You achieve it, you get to it, you have your moment of victory, and then it's empty again. Through Jesus Christ, peace with God is achieved. And that's the only peace that really matters. And that leads to the last one that I want you to understand this morning. Stop pursuing happiness. Stop pursuing happiness. Does that shock you? Stop pursuing happiness, because happiness depends upon all your circumstances being right. And if anybody ever has more than a moment of time in their life when all your circumstances are right, please let me know. I want to live your life. It seems like just about the time you get just enough, you know, you start building your savings account, you're feeling good about yourself, your hot water heater and your furnace go out, both at the same time, and you're back starting at zero. And if your happiness depends upon financial security, it's gone. Your happiness is gone. If happiness depends upon your little family all producing healthy little family members and you're all getting together along fine and everything is wonderful and everything's fine, all of a sudden one kid, one of those kids, blows it. And your happiness, if it depends upon your family having everything perfect, goes out the window. Happiness depends upon circumstances being correct in every way for you to be happy. I mean, you know, if you got a dog, there goes your happiness right there. You got to get new carpet every year. I mean, how happy can that make you? Instead of pursuing happiness, pursue peace. There's a difference. Peace is that quality that lifts you above the circumstances so that even in the storm, you can be asleep in the stern of the boat. Remember that story? Disciples are rowing like crazy. A storm comes up. They're about to die. They're screaming, "Where's Jesus?" Oh, here he is. He's sleeping in the stern of the boat. Great. You don't even care, Lord. Oh, he cares. He just has peace. And so he gets up and he says, "Oh, you guys, peace be still." The storm stops. You can have peace because even in the middle of the storm, there's Jesus right there. And at any moment, he can get up and say, peace be still. As long as I've got Jesus in the boat, I don't have to worry about a thing. Everything's under his control. Everything's in his hand. Happiness depends upon the circumstances. Peace depends upon God. That peace that comes that is ununderstandable. He said, I am leaving you a gift, peace of mind and peace of heart, and the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled, don't be afraid. I am well aware that depression is a very tricky, diabolical thing. And I want you to understand, I'm not saying if you just do these three things, depression will not bother you anymore. I am saying God has an answer, and there is hope, and you can live a better life. You can live a life that is overcoming of depression, and it's through Jesus Christ himself. Now, I realize that maybe some of you here this morning struggle with depression, and it's difficult to admit that. But I'm going to ask for the worship team to stay down there for a minute, and I want every head bowed, every eye closed. And as you're praying about this right now, I want to pray for you. If you're struggling with depression, men or women, but men, you got to get through this. If you're struggling with depression, I want you just to meet my eyes, wave your hand, do something. I'm going to pray for you. I'm not going to point you out or anything like that. I don't embarrass people here. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Anyone else? I'm looking at my left, my right, your left. Okay, thank you there. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Wow. Anybody else? Yes. Thank you. Thank you. God, you saw every hand that went up in this place this morning. Lord, you said that you give the gift of peace. And so I simply ask, God, that you would grant that gift of peace to my friends that are here this morning. I ask God that you would just give that gift of peace to those people that need it this morning. I thank you for their honesty, God. I thank you for the courage that it took to raise their hands. And so, Lord, now in Jesus' name, I pray for peace. In your name we pray. Amen. And amen. Would you stand with me, please? We're going to close in just a moment.